pitch. Drilled to center field on the 3-1 pitch. Back goes Rasmus. Grass, track, wall, it's gone. Number one for Carlos Santana. And Cleveland was out in front, 1-0.
Number one of two for Carlos Santana on the game. The birthday boy. And you don't want to pitch to this guy on his birthday. Hasn't been around that long, and he's already hit 5 home runs on April 8th. 2 today, both off Joel Carreño making his first major league start. But the Blue Jays rally down 4-2 into the 8th. They strung together 3 straight hits, singles by Kelly Johnson, Jose Bautista, and Adam Lind with one out. But in came Vinny Pastano, who just loves to strike out right-handed hitters. And he struck out Edwin Encarnacion and Brett Laurie to get out of the 8th inning. Not to be outdone, the Blue Jays rally in the 9th. And with a little help from a Cleveland error, as Indian shortstop Osdrubal Cabrera couldn't handle a game-ending double play ball by Ben Francisco, the Jays wound up loading the bases with 2 out and brought Jose Bautista to the plate. But he popped up a 2-1 pitch to shortstop, and there's the ball game. Blue Jays fall 4-3 to the Indians. They take 2 out of 3 on the road in their first series of the year, and they're off to a wonderful start coming home for a 9-game homestand that starts tomorrow night. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays talk. They've put the blue back in Blue Jay, so we've put it back in the show as well. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. And like I said, we got a lot of negativity after those first 2 games, both of which were Blue Jays wins. So I'm eager to hear what's going to go on today. And I'd really like people to keep their heads on straight and remember that it's just one loss. We start with Dan in Toronto. Hello, Dan.
Good afternoon, Mike. Nice to be part of the Jays Talk this afternoon.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, Mike, I have a 2-part question for you, the first being about Colby Rasmus.
Of course.
And, I do like the player. I like the player a lot, but, his production last year when he came over from the Cardinals and then into spring training, and now I know it's only 3 games into the season, but he just doesn't seem to be at the plate. Defensively, he's fine, but at the plate, he just doesn't seem to be comfortable.
I don't see that at all.
Oh, no? Okay.
No, I thought he hit 2 absolute ropes in the opening game, okay, both of which were caught. I think looking back yesterday, he had the hit in the 12th, and he flied out to deep, deep right field in extra innings. And today, I thought he hit 2 balls awfully hard as well. So, yes, he is 1 for 14, I think. But, you're far from the only one who's suggesting that he looks lost at the plate and he looks like he's not doing anything. I don't believe there's any reason to see that.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Now, John Lannon has requested a trade out of Washington.
Yeah.
And I've also heard that Gavin Floyd may be available out of the White Sox. And Lannon, I'm myself at $5 million a season, I think it is, as a fan, I hope he doesn't. I mean, if the Jays were interested, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think Gavin Floyd might be a better fit. What is your opinion on that?
I don't really think the Blue Jays need to trade assets for middle of the rotation starting pitching right now.
Okay.
I think that if you could get a guy who you could fit in at the top with Romero and Morrow, then yeah, absolutely. Do what you can to do it. And I believe that that's, something that they tried to do quite a bit in the offseason, but couldn't get it done at the price they wanted.
Sure.
But I also think that, names, it's easy to get excited by a name. John Lannon is nothing special. Gavin Floyd is nothing special. These guys are fine big league pitchers. Nothing special. And I would rather have a young, inexperienced player who has the potential to be something special than just have someone whose name I know and whose ceiling I know is just okay. We are probably not going to see Joel Carreño in the rotation next couple of times around as the Blue Jays drop back to a four-man between now and April 21st. Though Carreño did fine, not well, fine, for his first major league start. But I'm happy with Romero, Moro, Alvarez, Drabek for the next couple of weeks. Then we'll see what happens when they need a fifth starter. Dan is in Toronto. Dan, welcome to the program.
It's a long, long season, as you know, but for three games, you know, you can't complain. They look pretty good. And the fact that they weren't blown out and they could have won this game is a good sign. And I'd just like to say is that I think, unlike another GM in this city with another perennial sports team, I give this GM credit for assembling a group of young players. There's some leadership on there, even though they're young. And they're really entertaining and enjoyable to watch, unlike Mr. Burke and his team at the ACC.
It's interesting that you would use the word perennial as an insult, but congratulations on getting your shot at the Leafs in. I guess that's why you called. I'm not going to turn this into a Leafs talk thing. I think the Blue Jays are exceedingly well-positioned and have a load of talent, a ton of great young players, and are a very exciting team that should be in a race for a playoff spot this year. Josh is in Toronto. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Mike. Great opening series. Loved what I saw from the Jays so far. I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. First of all, this Colby Rasmus stuff. I would understand if he's, you know, having terrible at-bats, but he really isn't. The results aren't there. But if you've been watching, he's been hitting balls hard at fielders. And even if he gets under a ball, it's a good swing. It's just he's got to get used to his new leg kick or whatever it is. If he's hitting 200 in the middle of June, then the cries are warranted. But let's just give him some time in the bottom of the order.
Fine with me.
Yeah, and secondly, I just want to talk about Carreño for a bit. Do you think they're going to give him a second start on the 21st or 5 days from now? What do you think is going to happen there?
I don't think he gets a start 5 days from now. I don't think that the plan ever was that. I mean, unless he'd thrown, like, as well as Moro through yesterday, he was either going to go back to the bullpen or down to the minors for the next 10 days. And we'll see. I'm sure they'll announce shortly what they're going to do. Maybe they'll wait till Drabek pitches again. But, you know, Carreño pitched today. Today was the third game of the season, but Carreño is not the third starter. Carreño is the fifth starter on this team. And he is likely either to go back to the bullpen until the 21st, or to go down until the 21st. But I do believe that that was always the plan.
Right. What I was going to say was I wouldn't mind seeing, I don't know if they have anyone in the minors, but I wouldn't mind seeing if they had another left-handed bat because they really don't have someone to go to pinch hit from the left side.
No, they don't. But, yeah, you know, you're not going to call up Travis Snyder to be a bat off the bench.
Is there anybody that can sign a Damon and Matsui?
Well, but Damon doesn't want to sign to be a bat off the bench, and I'm not sure Matsui does either. You know, just because they're out there, you know, the reason that Johnny Damon's out there looking for work, or at least without work yet, is because he's insisting that whoever signs him give him a full-time job, and that's simply not available. I mean, you can't if you're looking to fill out the bottom of the roster, you're not going to fill it out with regular players. And I think that's a common fallacy. And I do appreciate the call a lot. The common fallacy among a lot of fans, and I see it on Twitter all the time, is that some people think that your backup catcher should be an all-star quality player, that you know, the 24th and 25th guys on your roster should be guys who can start for a good team. That's just not the way the game works. You can't be that deep. Nobody's that deep. And so you're going to have flaws with the guys who are on the bottom part of your roster. Phone lines are open. It is the Blue Jays talk at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance 1-888-666-0590. 1-800-919-0590. Taking your calls right to the bottom of the hour. We go out to Markham. James, hello.
Good afternoon, Mike. How are you?
I am getting there. I'm excited for the home opener tomorrow. Let's say that.
Awesome start to the series. First off, I'm not sure you must have missed it on Twitter, but Carreño was optioned.
Aha.
He's been called up to the pen.
Say what? Who's been called up to the pen?
Laffy.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, I see it now. Shai Davidi and Barry Davis with the tweets. Joel Carreño has been sent down to AAA, and Aaron Laffy has been called up. So there you go, till the 21st. So maybe we'll see Laffy on the 21st in that start. Maybe they'll bring Carreño back there, even though it means running Laffy through waivers. But there you go. Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
But my comment was on what does Kevin Cash do? How does his job work? I noticed the Jays were positioning a couple times, and it was fortunate, and I liked hearing that there might be some more intelligence coming for each series.
Yeah, that's what he does. He's the one who provides intelligence for each series. He's the advanced scout, and he goes and he watches the team that the Blue Jays are going to play next, and he takes notes and he sends reports, and see what they do with them. It'll be very interesting to see what they wind up doing with them. I don't think they've had a dedicated advanced scout, pro scout, one series ahead for a few years now. Thank you for the call. And I saw Kevin Cash a whole lot during the spring. Never really was able to corner him for an interview, but I'm hoping that we'll see him once or twice at Rogers Center, and we'll be able to talk to him about the transition to the scouting life. He could be a very, very big help for the Blue Jays this year. Kyle is in Toronto. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, Mike. How are you? I'm sorry to do this to you, but I'm going to have to turn positive on you.
Oh, no.
I am so excited about this team this year. Even with the loss today, I'm sitting on my couch just after Easter dinner. I'm chanting for Kelly. I'm chanting for Jose. My whole family right now is looking at me like I'm retarded because I'm outside talking to you on the phone. I mean, I can't get over it. I am just so happy. I think this team's going to do good. I just like the fact that it doesn't matter what we go down. You can tell by the dugout. They don't care. We could go down by 10. I still think they think that they got a shot.
And I think
young guys are just freaking awesome.
I think they do, too. I think you're letting your passion kind of overwhelm your common sense with the language that you're using. But I'm glad to hear that you're excited, and it's good, and you should be, and that's the thing. It's way easier in Toronto to pick the negatives. Way easier. Because that's what we're used to. We're used to being disappointed, whether we have any right to be or not. But there's nothing not to be excited about this group of Blue Jays. John is in Dryden. John, you're on the Blue Jays talk.
Hi, Mike. First-time caller.
Welcome aboard.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering, like everyone else, I think I'm really excited and optimistic about the Jays. My only concern is with everyone talking about Adam Lind's back, is there something we should be worried about that we're only seeing the Yankees twice before the All-Star break?
What does one have to do with the other?
Well, just that they typically get a lot stronger towards the latter half of the season, and with injuries looming, wouldn't it be necessarily better to see our East Coast or you know what I'm trying to say.
I do know what you're trying to say, and I think that's a real stretch. I mean, I think you had to look pretty hard for something to be negative about here.
I'm not being negative.
To be concerned about.
They're such a powerhouse.
To be concerned about.
Yeah.
You don't know when people are going to get hurt. You don't know if Adam Lind's back is going to go on him, and you don't know if it does, when it's going to go on him and when he's going to be back. And to think that he's going to be healthy for the first 2 months of the season and then not be healthy for the next 2 months of the season, I think no one can predict that.
Okay.
So, no, I wouldn't worry about that at all.
I don't know if you know, is there any reason why we're seeing basically the Yankees only in the second half?
Oh, it's just the way the schedule works. I mean, sometimes there have been years where, I don't know if it's every year that you get the majority of one of your division rivals in the second half of the season and the majority of one of them in the first half of the season. But we've seen that before. I think there was a year where they only played Tampa once before July and Baltimore once or twice before August. So that's just kind of the vagaries of the schedule.
Awesome.
Thank you, John.
Keep up a great program. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. There's an excited Blue Jay fan. Maybe we have another excited Blue Jay fan here. William is in Toronto. Are you another excited Blue Jays fan?
Yes, I definitely am.
Good.
The only thing is, who probably is the captain of the team, Bautista. It's not the way he ended the game. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is when the Jays had their rally in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
And Chu was throwing from home. Why didn't he go from first to third with less than two outs? He knew the ball was going to home plate. If he goes to third, then Encarnacion, I understand he struck out, but his whole game plan changes. All he's got to do is hit it in the outfield, and we got a four-all tie. That's number one. You can answer me.
Answer you because I'm not having been there, only seeing what was on TV. I'm sure that Jose knew that there was too much of a chance to risk going to third. That's all, plain and simple. You can't say that it's automatic that because there's one out and the ball's hit to right and the throw's coming home. Nothing is ever automatic.
Okay, and I just got that one quick comment to make and one question, and I'll hang up. The comment is I just don't want the Blue Jay Nation to get on Rasmus on opening day because I know that his character is just a little bit kind of – it's a little fragile.
You don't know anything about his character.
Well
– you don't. I'm sorry.
Well, I've just
– I appreciate you not wanting him to get booed on opening day. That's fine.
I definitely don't want him to get booed. Definitely don't want him to get booed.
Yep.
And my last question is, are the Jays totally out of options with Snyder? Because if something does if an injury does happen and the Jays have to call him up, does he have to clear waivers before we get him? Or
no, that's hockey, not baseball. There are no recall waivers in baseball. If you're out of options, then you can't be sent down without going through waivers. But Travis Snyder is not out of options. He still has options remaining for this season. And that's the way it works. They're option years. This is Snyder's last option year. Rob in Toronto. Rob, you're on the Blue Jays talk.
Hey, Mike, you do a great job.
Thank you. So do you.
Thank you. Listen, everything's confident. I just want to make it short and say that I like what I see with the Blue Jays, the first three games. And you know what? They could have won today, but I'll take it because when you've got three men on base and you got Bautista, one of the best home runners I've seen in a long time. And you know what? I feel that the Jays are going to have a good year, and I believe that they're going to go all the way. They're not going to hopefully win the World Series, but you know what I see now, and it's only three games, and I'm excited. You know, who couldn't be? You know,
there's no reason not to be excited. Like I've kept saying, you're absolutely right, and Bautista is one of the best home runners that there's been in a long time. He's I think 97 home runs in the last 2 years, and the next closest has 79, and he's already hit one this year. He has been an exceptional offensive player the last couple of years. And
he's amazing.
Yeah, he is. And he's the straw that stirs the drink here, with no question about it.
Yep, and you know what? And I see all the other players doing well. And like I said, I just can't. And I love John Farrell, great manager. You know what? He really is really good. And, you know, I just want to say that I'm going to phone in again, and I'm going to be always positive and right to the end. And you know what? You're going to hear my voice again. And, Mike, you have a good day, and go Jays, go.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate the call, Rob. You don't have to be positive every time, but I would love if people would only be negative when there was a real reason, not just something they made up in their heads to be negative. We'll sneak in one more. Corey in Mississauga, you're going to be the last one, so make it good.
Hey, Mike, just a quick question about Santos. Just wanted to see what you thought of him in early on. And one other kind of quick point is I thought that the pitch that he threw to Cabrera was actually a pretty bad pitch for Cabrera to hit to begin with. So
it was a 95-mile-an-hour fastball above the belt.
It
right?
looked a little higher on TV, I guess. It looked like it was about at his shoulders.
It was not at his shoulders.
Okay.
But it was still not a pitch that you expect someone to hit out of the ballpark.
Because I think the next batter was Hafner, was it not? And he kind of hit the same pitch, and he popped it up. So maybe he just missed it. But
the next hitter was Chu. But, yeah, I mean, Cabrera did a good job. And that's a tip-your-cap home run. You know, it's not a hanging slider or a get me over fastball because the pitcher's being timid or makes a mistake. So I have no problem. I mean, he's going to blow saves. Everybody blows saves. Unless you're Jose Valverde last year or Eric Gagne when he won the Cy Young. But, I don't have a problem. I like the five outs that we've seen from Sergio Santos so far this year, and I think he's going to be very, very good. I appreciate the call. And I'm told we're going to extendo the Blue Jays talk. So let's do it. Keep those phone calls coming. Them cards and letters, send them in. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Extendo Blue Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, the Fan, all the way to the top of the hour. Blue Jays lose it 4-3. They are 2-1 to start the season with the home opener tomorrow. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network. That's going to do it for us along the Blue Jays Radio Network. The Jays fall 4-3 to the Cleveland Indians. Joel Carreño takes the loss, gives up 4 runs on 6 hits and 6 innings in his first major league start. And after the game gets sent down to AAA, Aaron Laffey gets called up. He will work out of the bullpen as the Blue Jays don't need a fifth starter again until April 21st. For those of you listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan or sportsnet590.ca, the Extendo Jays talk goes until 5 o'clock. Eastern time. Next up is the home opener, the Blue Jays and the Red Sox, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Eastern. Make sure you join us, Henderson Alvarez against Felix DuBrant. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Dylan Brown, Gore Brunt, I'm Mike Wilner. The Extendo's next. Good afternoon from Toronto.
Holding it down behind the plate and keeping it real, honest, and upfront on Twitter. Check out JP Arencibia at JP Arencibia 9. Blue Jays baseball continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
There's the ball rocked deep to right field. That's heading for the bleacher seats down into the corner. That ball is gone. Another home run for Carlos Santana.
Happy birthday, Carlos Santana. He continues his amazing hitting on his birthday. This is Santana's third year in the big leagues, and that was his fifth home run on April 8th. One of two today to help lead the Indians to a 4-3 win over your Toronto Blue Jays. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Blue Jays Talk. And we're taking your phone calls, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We're also keeping an eye on the Twitter, at Wilderness590. Again, the Blue Jays send Joel Carreño down after this start and bring up Aaron Laffey to pitch long relief out of the bullpen. Carreño sent down today is eligible to come back April 21st, which is the next time the Blue Jays need a fifth starter. They will be going with a four-man rotation of Ricky Romero, Brandon Morrow, Henderson Alvarez, and Kyle Drabek until then because of all the off days on the schedule. We are extending it up right up until 5 o'clock Eastern time, so please give us a call. And, let's start with Sean in Toronto. Sean, you are our first caller on a 2012 Extendo Blue Jays Talk.
I'm honored.
You should be. Well done.
No, thank you very much. Just a quick question for you, and I know it's early, and I know there's so much excitement. I'm excited about this team. But I've noticed that, you know, we've faced three starting pitchers that are, they're good. They're very good, but they're not, you know, aces by any stretch. And the Blue Jays have really struggled against them. It wasn't until the bullpen came in that the offense really exploded and created those extra inning games, and even, you know, in the eighth and the ninth today. Is this going to be a problem for the team as they continue to grow? Are they going to be struggling against kind of the starters and then come together when the pen comes in? Or
I can't imagine,
in your opinion.
I can't imagine why that would be. You're right. They certainly did struggle against Justin Masterson on Thursday. He was terrific. He's got that in him. I mean, this, you know, look at the start he got off to last season. I think the first couple of months he was unbelievable. Ubaldo Jimenez is another guy who was 15-1 one year with an ERA under 2 the first few months of the season. So they've certainly got it in them, no question about that. But no, I think it's just what happens sometimes over three games. This is a team that was the sixth best in the major leagues at scoring runs last year, and that was giving 1,200 at-bats to the worst hitter in baseball, which is what the combination of Jason Nix and Corey Patterson and Juan Rivera and Aaron Hill were for them. They're much better than that right now. So, no, I don't expect this to be any sort of a pattern or anything. Just a coincidence.
Well, that's great to hear, because I'm definitely as excited as everyone else for the potential of this team, and more importantly, that this is not really even supposed to be the team. This is the beginnings of what's going to be a great team for the city.
That's absolutely correct. Thank you for the call, Sean. You're right, and there are very few people who've brought that point up. It's as though, because of the spring that the Blue Jays had, the thought among the fan base is that the Blue Jays are entitled to a playoff berth this year. They're not. And it's not really even supposed to be the year that the Blue Jays make the playoffs. They're supposed to be another year or two away. But the talent has the potential to move that timetable up. Ray is in Toronto. Hello, Ray.
Hi, Mike. Regarding Rasmus, just inquiring, how long of a leash are we willing to give him? I mean, I know you say it's one loss, but I don't want to be in the middle of May and out of the playoff race, perhaps just because of Rasmus. I mean,
there's no chance. No chance, Ray. I'm sorry, I have to stop you. I'll let you continue. But when you say something that ludicrous, I have to stop you. There is no chance that the Blue Jays will be out of the playoff race by May simply because of Rasmus. If he only gets one hit, it wasn't an example. It was a ridiculous overstatement. If he only gets one hit, and this one hit that he got yesterday is the only hit he has the first 2 months of the season, they will not be out of the playoff race solely because of Colby Rasmus.
Okay, my point was, in spring training, I think I called into the show and I was telling you he was 1-for-15, and you brushed me off saying, okay, it's only spring training.
Right.
Now it's the regular season, he's 1-for-16 again.
Yes.
Or 1-for-15 or whatever.
It's only three games.
It's only three games, but there's a pattern.
No, there isn't. Spring training doesn't matter. Spring training doesn't count. It doesn't matter. Has nothing to do with anything, honestly. Nothing.
Why not bring Snyder up? What's wrong with bringing Snyder up and having him Bautista
teams? Colby Rasmus has accomplished so much more in the major leagues than Travis Snyder has. Travis Snyder, and we have to figure out why Snyder hasn't been in the lineup the last couple of days for Las Vegas. We'll look into that, see if we can find out.
Yeah, because he had an amazing spring.
He had a very good spring. He had a very good spring. There's no question about that. He's a very good defensive player. Great base runner. I love Travis Snyder. I think Colby Rasmus is better than Travis Snyder. Because you know what? I don't believe Colby Rasmus's career started last August. So that's the thing that you have to remember. And I know it's very difficult because you probably hadn't heard of Colby Rasmus prior to the Blue Jays getting trading for him. And I know that there are a lot of Blue Jay fans who hadn't heard of Colby Rasmus before the Jays traded for him. This is a guy who has been a very, very good hitter in the major leagues at a very, very young age. He's going to be fine, I promise. Jason in Thornhill. Jason, you're on the Extendo Blue Jays Talk.
Mr. Wheeler, how are you?
I continue to be well, thank you.
couple observations. Huge baseball fan for 35 years.
Excellent.
I think the city is ready to explode. Behind the Jays, I think they're really ready to put themselves behind the Jays this year. I just feel it. I think we've had so many losers for so many years. I think even a competitive Jays team into August will draw a lot of fans out this year.
I hope so. But you know what? Based on what I've been hearing the last 3 days, after two huge extra inning wins, I'm not convinced that anybody's ready to really get behind the Blue Jays.
Well, I hope that's not the case.
Me too.
And I would like to see it. We'll see what happens. But a few observations. In the off season, I liked AA's rebuilding of the bullpen. I think that was fantastic. I think it's evident in the first few games what a job he's done with that. I still would have liked him to seen them take a run at fielder. It's not my money. It's Rogers' money. I really could care less if they had laid it out for him. But having said that, we'll go with what we have. I am concerned about Rasmus, like echoing a lot of callers. I'm not saying, I'm not using three games as a barometer. However, I just wonder. Let's assume that it is the worst case scenario, and his hitting is extremely poor.
Why?
What?
Why do you want to assume the worst case scenario? Why do you want to talk about what happens if Colby Rasmus is hitting 150 in May when the odds are that that's not going to happen?
What odds are by what standard are you measuring that?
The standard of his career to this point.
So because he had how many good seasons?
He had a
nice season.
He had an excellent season in 2010 at 24.
Yeah.
He had a good season in 2009 at 23. And he had a fantastic first 2.5 months of last season at 25. And I think that's what a lot of people don't take into account, too. And I'm, this is not going to become the Colby Rasmus talk. But when you're 23 and 24 and having success in the major leagues, that means a lot. A lot. And people don't seem to understand that. When Travis Snyder hits 300 in 6 weeks worth of major league at-bats as a 20-year-old, that's really, really significant. And it's not like somebody coming up as a rookie at 29 and doing it. There's a huge difference there.
Well, you're right. And it's unfair to single out one hitter in the lineup. I do echo, a few of your callers mentioned it. And I know some of the starters we faced in the first three games have been excellent pitchers at one time or another. However, it does seem a little that the hitting has been a little light. And three games, I understand, is not.
They have scored 17 runs in three games.
Yeah, but in the last, exactly. But it was once they got into the pen, and the I know it's a team effort, and the pen held us in. But it's you're not concerned whatsoever.
No, because there's no reason to be. Thank you for the call, Jason. I really wish people would stop looking for things to get worried about. They've scored 17 runs in three games. That's fine. A baseball season is 162 games long. And over any 162-game season, you're going to find 3, 5, even 10 games where nothing's going right. And you're going to find it where everything's going right. And the fact that they're 2-1, even though people seem to be finding so much negative about it, should be an amazing thing. We need an update. Rob Wong? Jeff Rahoman, the Empire, is going to provide us with an update. And then after that, more of your phone calls as the Extendo Blue Jays talk continues. Let's try to pretend that the Blue Jays are not the Maple Leafs. How about that? 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590, as we continue on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Here's the 2-1 pitch, swing, and it's popped up at third base. Coming in, Jack Hanna, and the shortstop calls him off, and Cabrera makes the catch behind the mound. The game is over. Cleveland hangs on to win it 4-3.
And there it was, a huge dramatic moment in this game, and that is the Blue Jays exactly where they want to be. If you have to trail late in a ball game, you want the best hitter in baseball up with runners on. And Jose Bautista was up with a bases loaded and two out in the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays trailing 4-3, got ahead in the count, and popped it up. Unfortunate. But such is life, and the Blue Jays fall to 2-1. The Yankees, by the way, just fell to 0-3. The Blue Jays fall to 2-1. Second place in the American League East. Actually third, because Baltimore and Tampa both won, so they're 3-0. Three games into the season, and the home opener tomorrow night. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Extendo Jays Talk. We're taking it to the top of the hour at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Let's go out to Cambridge. Mark, welcome to the program.
Mike, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Good. I just want to make a comment about, I know the Jays had a very nice spring, excellent spring, in fact, but I got to take exception with a lot of the fans and just people in general around in Toronto that this team is, you know, possibly going to make the playoffs. I don't think there's any chance this team makes the playoffs. And let me just point out this fact here about rotations.
Yep.
Tampa Bay has a much better rotation than Toronto, should finish higher in the standings. Anaheim, much better. Texas, much better. I just don't see where this team gets into the wild card and even possibly wins the division. I mean, I just don't see it. This team is still a couple years away, and I think the fans are dreaming in Toronto.
I don't mind the fans dreaming. I think that's fine.
Yeah, like, I don't see how you and the fans, like, can, you know, even think that this team has a prayer in that division.
Oh, because they absolutely do.
How do they have the, Mike? Tampa Bay is a better team. Baltimore is off to a 3-0 start.
Baltimore's awful. Do you want me to answer your question, or do you just want to yell at me?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Tampa Bay's a very good team. Tampa Bay has an excellent pitching rotation. Excellent rotation. They don't have nearly as much offense as the Blue Jays have.
Much better pitching. Way better pitching.
And the Blue Jays have way better offense and still very good pitching. Still
way
very good
pitching.
Okay, you know
phenomenal
what? I can't do this. Thank you for the call. If you're just going to say way better pitching a million times, we can't have a conversation. The Blue Jays were 81-81 last year. This year, they are better. And this year, there's another wild card spot available. There's no reason to believe that there is no chance that the Blue Jays can make the playoffs. No reason to believe that. It's not going to be easy, and you shouldn't expect them to do it. They would have to move the timetable up if they're going to make the playoffs, but it's certainly possible. Mike, you're up next. No? Hello? I'm looking at a Mike. Are you there? Mike's not there. Oh, well. Gord Brunt's going to find somebody else that we can talk to. We do have a couple of phone lines open if you want to give us a call. At 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go out to Burlington. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Mike. I don't understand all the negative perception that all of Toronto have with our Jays team here. I mean, last year we had JoJo, we had Juan Rivera, Corey Patterson. We had a bunch of bums that you knew there were just holes in our rotation and our bullpen and our order. You look at our batting lineup right now, 1-9, top to bottom, no holes in the lineup. And if people want to call Colby a hole, that's fine. But having a guy that can go 20 home runs, 20 stolen bases in a year is not really a hole. And that's a gem of having a guy like that as your ninth in the batting order. It's pretty awesome. He's virtually the same guy as Travis Snyder, a guy that's shown a lot of potential, not too great the last year. But, I mean, who cares? That's the negative year is more than likely going to be the outlier. And having Colby and Travis, one of them will probably work out and be a good center fielder, left fielder for our team. I mean, I don't understand. The Jays have had three games. Two of them, they can't come back, extra innings, both wins, because of the bullpen that Anthoff built in the offseason. And then the third game, they took it to within one run, come back, bottom of the ninth inning, two out, bases loaded with Jose Bautista. I mean, if that's not excitement, if that's not a good team that you want to watch and come out to the season every game, I don't know what is.
All right, thank you, Dan. I like it. I like the passion. I like the passion from everybody, even from the haters, but I just don't understand the passion from the haters. But I like that there's passion, that people care about it. But I just want you to be... try to remember how long the season is. And try to remember that winning 2 out of 3 is a really good thing. If you win 2 out of every 3, you win 108 games in the season. Don't know who this is up next, so tell me your name.
Hey, it's Mike from Mississauga. Sorry, hey. I got cut off, sir. I'll get right to the point, man. I mean, I echo the last caller's sentiment with Rasmus. I totally agree. So I'll just strip that part of my comments. Just go right to the weather in Cleveland, man. Does anybody not realize how cold it was down there? I'm on my way back to, from there now. Like Thursday, Like, I thought I was going to die. I don't know how, like, they even got a hit that game. And then today, just so cold, so windy, and people are talking about, like, oh, the, you know, we couldn't hit these starters, et cetera. Do they not realize that it's April in Cleveland? I don't know if you agree with me or not, but...
You know what? It was really freaking cold on Thursday. I wasn't there this weekend, but it was really cold. And it's true. That hadn't even popped into my head yet, how tough it is to hit. I mean, it's tough for both teams, but we saw a lack of offense from both teams until
like,
late in games.
You're right. A lot of runs, really, like, if you think about it. But and people who say, oh, you know, Masterson and Jimenez, like, don't have stuff, man, they're amazing pitchers. They're just, they're younger, so people don't associate them with guys like, skip my brain there now.
Look, they don't give opening day starts to chimps, right? We need to remember that. They don't give opening day starts to chimps. Justin Masterson was the opening day starter over a guy like Ubaldo Jimenez, who's been an all-star.
Exactly. They're, if not already aces in the making.
Well, Ubaldo might already be. I don't know about Masterson, but you're right.
Exactly.
They faced pitching. They faced terrible cold weather. And that may be part of it. We'll see. The next nine games are all going to be inside.
My main comment was just about the weather, though, man. Like, people got to take into account how cold it was. Like I think when the weather warms up, we're going to see some real mashing going on.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call and appreciate you bringing that up because I hadn't yet. You're right. And that may be one of the reasons, too, that there wasn't enough offense for some people, 17 runs in three games. Connor is in Etobicoke. You're on the Extendo Blue Jays Talk.
How are you doing today?
I continue to be well, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to call about all this criticism about this young baseball team. What's Rasmus, 25?
Yes.
Turning 25, then you've got JP and Laurie, all these other young guys in the major leagues playing against guys who've been there for 10, 15 years. Taking 2 of 3 on the road, no matter what time of the year, April, October, either time, it's really a positive outcome.
All right. Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say, just get my point out there and just realize, like, we're being tough on a young team, and it's only April.
I like that we're starting to hear from rational people. Thank you. I appreciate the call. There is nothing to say that in order to be a good Blue Jays fan, you have to pick apart every tiny thing looking for something to be worried about. Justin in Toronto. Hello, Justin.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
You know what? I hope this team makes the playoffs. I think it would be wonderful for the city. But Alvarez, he looks like the real deal, but that's just in spring training, which doesn't mean anything. Hopefully he can parlay that into a good regular season.
He also looked pretty good in 10 starts last year.
I think we need to pick another starter up to help out Morrow and Romero at the top of the order, because our hitting is well. We've got 1-9. We've got strong hitters. We've got speed. But our both pins got better, but I think we need more for a starting rotation. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thank you. The Blue Jays do not have the best starting rotation in baseball. There's no question about that. But they have young guys with great stuff in Alvarez, in Drabek. McGowan's not young. He's 30, but he hasn't pitched in 4 years. And guys on the way up. And as I said earlier in the program, and I continue to believe this, I don't see the benefit in bringing over a mediocre veteran starting pitcher just because you know you're going to get 6 or 7 mediocre innings from him every time out, as opposed to the potential fluctuations that you could get from an Alvarez or a Drabek. I'd rather have the guy who has the potential to be great every time he gets the ball. If you're going to bring in a top-of-the-rotation guy, I'm all for it. But just some average third starter? No thanks. To Milton, Jeremy, you're on the Extendo Jays Talk.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling.
I was listening to you talking to Roger Lajoie, and he was asking about your power rankings. I know you weren't a fan of that.
Right.
How would you have ranked the Blue Jays this year had they signed Prince Fielder and Hugh Darvish?
It doesn't matter, because there's the same opportunity that they were going to sign Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth.
No, you throw the money. We had $60 million to spend a year.
You did?
Spend the money. Well, they say they have $120 million. They spend $68 million. They offered Prince Fielder $30 million a year for 10 years.
Which would have been an insanely poor business decision.
Yeah, okay, business. I don't care.
But you don't care.
Would we have been higher?
You're not supposed to care.
No, but I'm not paying the bills.
Right.
Rogers is. And I pay my Rogers bill. And
right,
I
exactly.
So, you know, they're only paying $68 million a year, which is what they paid in '93.
The payroll is not I don't know where you came up with $68 million a year.
I thought that's what it was prior to the last thing.
But even 85 and change, I think. But it doesn't matter. No one ever said that the Blue Jays were going to move to $120 million payroll this year. No one ever. Whether fans thought they heard that or wanted to hear that, nobody ever said it. That's one. Two, because you have money, and there's no question that Rogers has money, but because you have money, it doesn't mean that the smart thing to do is set fire to it. And that's what you would be doing if you assigned Prince Fielder to a 10-year, $300 million contract like you just suggested.
But would we be higher in your power ranking?
Of course.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes. They would also be higher if they'd signed Albert Pujols. They'd also be higher if they'd traded Travis Snyder for Justin Verlander.
The
probability of all those things happening are exactly equal.
You really don't
seem to grasp this, Jeremy, do you?
I get it, but you have five playoff games.
If my grandmother had wheels, she would be a bus.
I understand that.
Evidently not.
I do. I'm just saying, if they'd spent the money.
Right, and also if they'd...
Would you think that they would have made it? Because then
They'd be much better, Jeremy. Thank you. Also, if they had exhumed and reanimated Mickey Mantle, they would be much better. Wasn't going to happen. Garrett in Thornhill, be better than the last guy.
Hey, Mike. Two quick things. One, they had 81 wins last year, right? And they had 25 blown saves.
Yes.
So I figure that if it was Sergio Santos and Francisco Cordero, they get 10 of those blown saves into real saves, opportunities, and converts of as 91 wins.
They did not lose 25 games in which they blew saves, though. 25 blown saves did not equal 25 losses.
Yeah, but they did have the most blown saves in MLB last year. Correct?
I think the Angels had the most.
I think they're up there, and I think that
they're definitely up there.
I think they convert 10 of those into
Well, they did
wins.
Convert 7 of them into wins, though.
Yeah.
So if they convert 10 of them into wins this time, then they have 84 wins.
Okay. Well, I don't think that's good enough for the playoffs, then, I guess. But another quick thing: you're all worried that there's not enough protection behind Batista. I mean,
nope.
I know Lynn was good today, but wasn't Lynn one of the worst hitters in baseball last year next to Dunn?
He had a long way to go to get to Adam Dunn.
I know, but he was one of the worst hitters.
Adam Lind did not have a good year. He was one of the worst qualified hitters in baseball last year. And yet, Jose Bautista still led the major leagues in home runs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand this whole idea that Bautista needs protection. And I know that people love to say it because you're far from the only one who says it.
Mm-hmm.
But with no protection last year, he led the major leagues in home runs. He hit 300. He led the major leagues in OPS.
I know, it's fantastic.
Do you want him to hit 400 with 60 homers? Because that's not going to happen even if you have Prince Fielder behind him.
It's fantastic idea. I'm just thinking that, like, what if other teams like the Rays or Boston upcoming walks him with even a runner on first and tries to get to Lind?
Then he won't be out, and that'll be a good thing.
Okay.
Okay, I appreciate the call. Anytime he doesn't get out, that's a good thing. And again, there have been many, many, many scientific studies that have proven that there is no such thing as an effective protection in the lineup. And I would think that Jose Bautista's 2011 would have proven that. Andrew in Toronto, you're going to be the last one. Don't pop up to short with the bases loaded.
Mike, I got to say, man, I'm terribly offended by the fans in this city. I'm offended. They just... 3 games into the season and we're already complaining, we're already worrying. It's 3 games into the season. Like, get over it. And the point that the guy made earlier, two callers ago, he said, you know, we need to spend more money. Why do we need to spend more money? Tampa Bay's put a winning team together on building up a quality farm system and making proper trades and just doing the right thing. Like, we can do that in this division. I think people need to get their heads out of their, you know, get their heads out of that place and just, you know, start focusing on what we've built and what we're looking at coming up from the minors. We've got a great farm system.
Yes, they do. Top three farm system.
People are just forgetting
that. Yeah, it's true. It's a wonderful farm system. You're right, Andrew, and I thank you for the call. And I really do hope that as the season progresses, we can get people to understand the good things that are going on here. And I know it's been a long time. And I know that the Maple Leafs exist. But there is a lot to be pumped about these Blue Jays. So here's hoping, and I know it's going to be 50,000 strong at the Dome tomorrow night. Here's hoping it's 50,000 cheering, that Rasmus doesn't get booed, and Henderson Alvarez goes out and pitches a great game. I believe that can happen. Thank you all for calling. We'll do it again tomorrow. It's a home opener. The 2-1 Blue Jays, home to the Red Sox. See you then.